Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. On yesterday's message, we began a message that I've entitled Springs of Living Water, and we're looking at what on the surface appears to be a rather obscure accounting in the 15th chapter of Joshua of a situation where Caleb, as he was possessing his land, found a particular territory which he called, it was the name of Debir and or Kirjath Sefer, and he promised to whatever warrior would conquer this area and would take it and subdue it, he would give his daughter as wife, as a reward. And in verse 17 of Joshua, the 15th chapter, it says, "And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife." And in 2 Timothy, as we have a New Testament reference for us today, Chapter 3, verses 16 and 7, it states that we are given the Word of God for specific purposes. It tells us that we, as children of God, as members, as soldiers in the army of the Lord, we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're thoroughly equipped to handle whatever kind of warfare may come our way because He has provided everything for our defense and offense. It's the armor of God. That offensive weapon is the Word of God. Defensive is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so let me just share that, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, that is, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God, and of course that's man or woman, a child of God, may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so here we see a man of faith. Remember, it was only Joshua and Caleb who had a good report 40 years earlier when they were sent to spy out the land with the other 10 spies who brought a bad report. At 85 years of age, he is saying, "I'm well able. Give me this land." That's what he's ready to take his inheritance, which Moses promised to him. And so as he extends this invitation to any young Israelite warrior who was brave enough and courageous enough and capable enough to take this city, that he was offering his daughter. Now, the man who stepped up, his name was Othniel. And that, you know, we do understand that the Bible has significance, and sometimes we have to dig to understand what the significance it is. But his name is significant. It means the Lion of God, or the Strength of God, or God is Power. And this was the young man, the warrior, who responded to Caleb's offer. And what we see here is there's a beautiful parallel, or an analogy, if you will, between Othniel and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the God of he is the head of the host. He is the captain of the co-host of the armies of heaven. And Jesus, just like Oft, you know, he is the strength of God. He is sent forth to God's people as his deliverer for all those who will call upon his name. The meaning of Othniel's name is not, I believe, by accident. It's not a misnomer, for we see in later years, when the children of Israel got into bondage again, they cried to the Lord. Of course, that's basically the entire history of the entire book of Judges. They backslid. They started worshiping false gods. Then they began to be oppressed by their enemies. They cried out to God. God sent a deliverer. And then that whole cycle, it seems, was repeated. But he raised up this very same man, this Othniel, as a deliverer to them. Let's go to the book of Judges, and we'll be looking at chapter 3. And I'm going to start at verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Baalim and the groves. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served him for 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against him. And the land had rest 40 years. So he was a judge of Israel for 40 years. And that verse 11 ends, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So he was actually a judge of Israel. And just as Othniel was called to be a deliverer and a judge for the people of God historically, Jesus, who is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and when we call on him for deliverance, beloved, he roars out of heaven in our behalf to bring deliverance. Sometimes as Christians, we have so limited the Lord by our hesitation or fearfulness to ask largely and boldly before the throne of grace. Caleb was looking for a qualified, chosen man of Israel. He wanted a warrior. He wanted a man of might and strength, and only to someone who would complete this formidable task would he give the reward of his daughter as a prize of victory. Now, when I speak of strength, of course, it's the Lord's strength. He travels in the might and power of his strength, and he is mighty to save. And so, what we see in the 15th and 16th verse, or rather 16 and 17, Othniel, it says, the son of Kenaz, took it. He conquered that city, and as a result, he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And so that was his job. He was to smite and take. So if we put a little bit of imagination and try to remember or imagine what it might have been like in that time, obviously this was a major task. The very area that Caleb lived in, he asked for Hebron, and that was occupied by giants. There was a formidable foe in his inheritance. And so this Othniel just didn't begin the work and give up because the task was great, but he finished the work that he had set his heart to do. And so the taking of Kirjath Sefer meant much effort, much agony. Who only the Lord would know all that was entailed in that warfare. But what we do see, if we just meditate upon this scripture, we can see a beautiful parallel between what Othniel set out to do for a natural wife and what Jesus Christ did do for us. Like Jesus, Othniel purposed to accomplish his mission. And we see that Jesus, he was born into this earth and he had an express mission. He had a call that he never wavered from, and it was to smite and take. He smote the devil with the weapon of the word. He spoiled principalities and powers, triumphing over them. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and there he was confronted by the devil. And each time, it was three times, the devil came against him. The enemy was rebuked and he left him. In Colossians 2:15, we read, God disarmed the principalities and powers arrayed against us, beloved, and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in it, which is, of course, the cross. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. God took the helpless prey, which is us. We were totally lost and undone without the Lord. He rescued us from the hand of the mighty, out of the powers of darkness. Beloved, he translated you and I into the dominion of the kingdom of God's dear Son. That's what Colossians 1:13 says. Beloved, we have reason to rejoice. Colossians 1:12-13 reads, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Praise God. In capturing our hearts, Jesus has to smite with the spirit of conviction before he can take it as a habitation for himself. That's just what Othniel did. Well, beloved, there's much more to share, and I invite you to tune in tomorrow at this same time. I thank you for joining me, and I just want you to know, UCM partners and Radio Family, I pray for you every day. I thank you for joining me. I invite you to tune in tomorrow. And if you have prayer needs, I do invite you to write. As always, the announcer will give our contact information, and know that I will pray for you personally. Every letter that comes in, I personally handle and pray for and send back whatever God would have. Thank you for joining me. And again, until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.